Well, this brings us to this wonderful section, Achieving Success in Family and Business. And here are the basic rules. Number one is your happiness should be your chief aim in life. Your happiness should be your chief aim in life. If it's not your chief aim, whose is it going to be? If you don't set your happiness as the most important organizing principle of your life, nobody else ever will. And don't ever think that you'll be unhappy and you'll make others happy, because you can't give away something you don't have. If you're not a happy person, you can't make anybody else happy. You can just make them varying degrees of miserable. So get over this thing that you're a sacrificial lamb and your happiness is to be sacrificed on the altar of someone else's, because you're not doing anybody a darn bit of good. You're just going through the suffering that your parents taught you was part of, you know, being a part of your family and your religion. The fact is that if you make your happiness your primary organizing principle, you'll probably never make another mistake. Now, the second rule is this, is that 85% of your happiness comes from your relationships with other people. So therefore, it behooves you to do everything possible to be in relationships with people you enjoy and care about, and to take the time to be good at relationships. Remember, all the most successful and highest paid people are relationship experts. They're relationship experts. They're very good. They have very high levels of social intelligence. And it's not ever because they're fabulous talkers. It's because they're wonderful questioners and listeners. The nicest, warmest, most important people you know are the people who are just such a pleasure to be with. And because they ask you questions and they listen, you have this nice ebb and flow. Number three is moderation in all things, is what the ancient Greeks taught. Moderation in all things. You need balance between your family and your work to be happy. Now, balance between family and work is one of the critical issues of the modern age. People come up and ask me, what's the key to balance? I say, what's the key to health? Well, there's 1,000 things. Good, 1,000 things to balance. Balance is like going across a tightrope on a windy day. Do you ever get perfectly balanced and then you just stroll? You've got to constantly be balancing all the time, all the time. With every single influence and force and demand and pressure on your time, you have to constantly be balancing. And as long as you have conflicting demands and multiple conflicting demands, the balancing act never stops. So therefore, there is no simple answer, and there's no quick answer, and there's no answer that's valid, you know, half an hour after you get it, because the answers have changed. So number four, we know that a feeling of stress and dissatisfaction arises when your activities and goals are not congruent with your values. The interesting thing is that all problems in life can be resolved by a return to values. Almost invariably, when you're living one life that is inconsistent with what you really believe to be right and true and good, it causes you stress. Now, you can tell, by the way, when your life is out of balance. If you're driving a car down the road and your front wheel is out of balance and you're driving down the road, what happens? It shudders, doesn't it? Now, if you keep driving and keep driving and keep driving without getting it fixed, what will happen? It'll eventually shudder and it'll vibrate and snap right off. You ever driven along and seen a car in the ditch with the wheel right up under the wheel well? You ever seen that? See, on a regular basis, the wheel was unbalanced for a period of time. When your life is out of balance, you also go through the same kind of emotional process, only it's expressed differently. It's expressed in irritation, anger, impatience, angry outbursts, poor sleep, insomnia, constipation, headaches, a feeling of being in a rat race and under pressure. When your life is out of balance, you start to feel all these things, because when you're perfectly balanced, you're in harmony, you're centered, you're a happy person, you feel relaxed and calm. Even if you're busy, you feel calm. Feel calm inside. So whenever you start to get snappy, irritable, short-tempered, it means your life is out of balance. And you have to pull it back into balance. Back into balance. So, start with your values. Start with your values. What is really important to you? Remember, if you're out of balance, there's something wrong with your values. What you're doing and what you believe are clashing. If one of your values is that you really love and care about the members of your family and you're working all the time and not spending any time there, stop and do an analysis. Wait a minute here. What am I doing that is inconsistent with my values? And then, number six, describe and decide upon your ideal lifestyle. Remember, whenever you're having stress, it's because your real situation is inconsistent with your ideal. So stop and say, you know, if my life were ideal in every respect, what would it look like? And don't do what the low performer does. The low performer always thinks of the reasons why it's not possible to get their life back into balance. The high performer always thinks, I want my life in balance, and then asks, how? So you say, okay, if my life were in balance, what would it look like? Vision. Vision, if my life were perfectly balanced, what would it look like? And that's your vision. And then you say, okay, how can I make that vision my reality? Number seven is, to do more of one thing, you must do less of another. To do more of one thing, you must do less of another. So in order to get your life back into balance, what should you be doing more of? What should you be doing less of? That's the great question. And if you're not sure, go to your boss, go to your spouse, even go to your kids. What should you be doing more of? Do you see anything that I should be doing more of or less of from your point of view? And often they'll say, well, you know, if you just didn't do this all the time and spend so many hours doing that, you'd have far more time. And you never thought about that. We, in Peak Performance Woman, by the way, we talk about time compression, where you take a whole lot of tasks, like shopping tasks, and you do them all at once in one trip, rather than spending as much as 500% of the time going on a little shopping trip here and a little shopping trip there, and a little errand here and a little errand there. What you do is you plan them, structure them, telephone ahead, and just go bing, 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 and do them all at once. Absolutely amazing. Remember, anything where you do everything at once is reduced by about 80% because of both the learning curve and the experience curve. So you have to bunch your tasks to get more time. Number eight, treat your time like money. Treat your time like money. How can you best invest it to achieve maximum satisfaction? And always ask yourself, is this the very best investment or use of my time? And if it's not, stop doing it and start doing what is. Remember, time is irreplaceable. You cannot save it. You can only spend it differently. Number nine is, set peace of mind as your highest goal. Set peace of mind as your highest goal and organize your life around it. If you set peace of mind as your highest goal and you only do what gives you a sense of inner peace, you'll perform at the highest levels of performance and you'll be the happiest and most fulfilled person of all. You'll be more creative, you'll be more positive, you'll be more personable. And if you set peace of mind as your highest goal, you'll never make another mistake. Men and women become great when they set peace of mind as their highest goal. Can you imagine Mother Teresa? Was already talking about being canonized if it doesn't get sidetracked by the politics in the church. Can you imagine her doing other than what gave her great peace of mind? She was, by all intents, a very happy person. From the time she began her work, and you read some of the accounts in the paper today, they always sang. They were always happy. They weren't doing it because they felt like victims or they felt they had to punish themselves. They were doing it because it gave them joy. And that's the most amazing thing. They just loved what they were doing and felt wonderful when they were doing it. Number 10, the key to balance is to do just two things, especially during the formative years of your family. And the two things are work and family. Do just two things. One of the big mistakes that we make is when we get married, and especially when we have children, we try to keep on doing all the things that we were doing, social engagements, tennis, golf, all those different things, and we don't realize that the answers have changed dramatically. When I first got married, I was taking flying lessons, I was running, jogging, playing racquetball, I was working with the Chamber of Commerce, giving talks and things like that, and then when I got married, marriage took up more time, and then I had my first child. Let me tell you what the two stupidest things you can say. Actually, there's two dumb things and one dumb question. You know what they are? Question, the dumb thing number one, is we're getting married, but it's not going to affect our lifestyle. Number two is we're having a child, but it won't affect our life at all. And the third, the dumbest question of all, is when you ask a woman who has one or more children, do you work? Yes, she does. 16, 17 hours a day, usually for 15 to 18 years, 7 days a week, 365 days a year with no breaks, no pay, and nothing off. Anybody who ever suggests that women with children do you work? Never, never, never say that, because boy, do they ever work, and thank God they do. Thank God for mothers. Thank God for mothers. Oh, we love you. We love you. I am in awe of mothers. Oh. Anyway, number 11, work all the time you work. Work all the time you work. When you work, put more of yourself into the work. Work 100% of the time. Now remember the law of the excluded alternative, and please understand this. If you are socializing with your friends at work and not getting your job done, does the work go away?
No.
So it has to be done, doesn't it?
Yes.
And if the work goes away, here's a rule. Hard time drives out soft time. Just like something hard will push aside something soft. Hard time is the work that you must do if you want to remain employed and pay your bills. Soft time is time with your family. If you don't do the work at work, the hard time, the work must be done, so the sacrificial lambs will be your family. Time will have to come out of family time. Are you with me so far? When you are talking and idly socializing and chit-chatting with your coworkers and not getting your work done, you are taking that time like bread out of the mouths of your children. You're taking that time away from your family. So the question you always have to ask is, chit-chatting with my coworkers more important than the quality of my relationship with my spouse and my children? Because that's the choice you're making, and everything counts. And if you remember that, you realize, whoa, when I'm at work, I work. You're a fine person, but I don't love you more than I love my kids. I'm sorry. And if I keep talking to you, I'm not going to get the work done. I'm going to have to take it home. Hear the story, a little girl goes to her mother, says, Mommy, how come Daddy brings a briefcase full of work home every night and he works and works and works and never spends any time with the family? And she says, well, honey, you have to understand. Daddy's got too much work to do and he can't get it done at work, so he has to bring it home and work. Oh, she said, well, why don't they put him in a slower class? People who don't get their work done at work eventually get put in. Number 12 is, when you're with your family, be there 100% of the time. When you're with your family, be there 100% of the time. Be there. Now, when are you with your family? When are you with another person, by the way? When are you with them? I'll tell you, when you're with the members of your family is when you're in their face. When you're in their face, that's when you're with them. You're not with them when you're under the same roof. You're not with them when you're watching television at one end of the house and they're doing something else at the other end. You might as well rent a hotel room downtown and watch television if all you're going to do is sit at home and watch television while your family drifts around you like, you know, logs in a logging pool. Remember, the only time you're there is when you're face to face, heart to heart, knee to knee. So if you're going to be there, be there. Be there in their face. That's very, very important. One of the rules that I set as a young man when I had my first child was this. If ever my kids wanted to talk and I was reading, I would put it down. I would never put aside reading material for my children because the reading material would always be there. I had a friend, a young woman, who I just saw recently, very nice woman, very attractive, very intelligent, and yet she's always had problems in her relationships, married unsuccessfully a couple of times. And she recalls, whenever she wanted to talk to her mother as a child, her mother would say, get away from me, I'm reading. Get away from me, I'm reading. Get away from me, I'm reading. Can't you see I'm reading? Go away and play. And she grew up with a profound sense of worthlessness, that this piece of paper, the books, newspaper, was more important than she was. And now as an adult, she's probably 40, never recovered. She's still struggling with those inner feelings of worthlessness. Get away from me, I'm trying to read. So it's very important. If a member of your family wants to talk to you, turn off the television, as hard as it may be. Close the magazine or newspaper, put it down, put it aside. Make it clear that they're more important than they are. And make a habit of doing that. It really makes a difference. Be there 100% of the time. Number 13 is limit and restrict television, newspapers, and outside activities. Remember the law of the excluded alternative, which says doing one thing means not doing something else. So therefore, stop doing whatever it is so you can start doing more of that. Here's a basic rule. Is number 14, spend unbroken chunks of time with the most important people in your life. This chunks of time philosophy has profoundly changed the lives of many people who've been through this course, and I'll tell you why. Is you need 30, 60, 90 minute chunks of time with the members of your family in order to build and maintain strong bonds of communication. Because that's how long it takes for the bonds to form. It's almost like a mold. It takes time. You cannot keep a relationship going with splattergun shots of a couple of minutes here and a couple of minutes there throughout the day. It takes periods of time. 30 to 60, 90 minute chunks of time are critical. Because how do children spell love? They spell it T-I-M-E. How do spouses spell love? They spell it T-I-M-E. They spell it FaceTime. Now, I'll give you two or three simple rules that work. Number one is when you come home at night, do not watch the television. Do not walk in the house and turn on the television because it simply shuts down all communication in the house. If it's on, turn it off. We will not allow the television on in our family room or at the end of the day. The kids have television, they can go watch a television if they want, but in the middle of the family, we don't allow television. Why? It's because it takes away. So the first hour should be a rebonding hour with the person who's there. You should be rebonding. How did your day go? And men especially should ask the women in their lives how their day went and ask thoroughly and listen thoroughly before you contribute how your day went, because her day was probably more interesting than yours, I'm sorry to say. Second of all, have dinner with your family as often as possible around the table. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever you possibly can. Be clever about it. Be determined. Insist. I have to sometimes drag my kids kicking and screaming to have dinner. Oh, why do we have to have dinner with the family? You get here and say, dinner, I'll strangle you. And then while you're at the table, two rules. Don't talk about business. Kids hate it when you talk about business. All they want to do is get away, because you might as well be in a different world. Second of all, no radio, no television, nothing on. Never have a television on when you're having meals with your family. Because other than that, you might as well break up and go in separate rooms, because everybody just watches the television. So it's very important that you practice those. The first hour of the day, take time to talk to members of your family. No radio, no television, no newspaper. And have meals with your family as often as possible. Now, with regard to chunks of time, this is terribly important, is the very best chunks of time are walks. Going for regular walks with a member of your family, especially with your spouse in the evening, is a wonderful way to rebond, communicate, center, get lots of exercise, strengthen your whole body, digestion. It's just wonderful. My wife and I walk all the time. But second of all, whenever you go for a drive, remember a car is one of the most powerful communication tools in the world. If you get into the car and go for a drive with another person, don't ever listen to anything. Not even my stuff. And I'll tell you why, because if you create a vacuum within a moving automobile, it will fill with conversation. And sometimes you'll learn more about the other person in a few minutes of driving with them in a car than you may have learned in weeks of living with them at home. And here's our last seven rules, and then we are on our way, Jose. The last seven rules, and this will take you until our next seminar. Seven rules for the 21st century. Now, these are things that you know because you are all experts. You're all at the top of your game. You're all the best people in the field. God, you're good. Right?
Yes.
You're the best, right?
Yes.
Rule number one is your life can only get better when you get better. Your life only gets better when you get better. There's no other way for your outer world to improve except for your inner world to improve. So make a lifelong commitment to the most important person in the world, yourself. And go to work to make yourself a continually better person. Number two, it doesn't matter where you're coming from. All that matters is where you're going. It doesn't matter what's happened in your entire life up to this moment. All that matters now is that with one thought and one action, you move into the zone. You move into a straight A grade, and you stay there as long as you stay in the zone mentally. Stay in the zone. Do you know how you stay in the zone? Is you think about your goals and talk about your goals. And you treat people like they're really important human beings. And you do the things that are consistent with the very best person you can possibly be. Number three, anything worth doing is worth doing poorly at first. Anything worth doing is worth doing poorly at first. You want to be the best in your field? Good. Remember, when you start off, you're going to make a mess of it. You'll do it poorly. you'll fall on your face. You'll look and feel and sound clumsy and awkward. The key to success is the willingness to move out of the comfort zone and not go back. And what is the zone outside of the comfort zone? It's the discomfort zone. It's where you're learning. You learn at a rapid rate when you expose yourself to incredible discomfort. And the thing is, stay out there until you become comfortable at a new, higher level of performance. Number four, you can learn anything you need to learn to achieve any goal you can set for yourself. Isn't that wonderful? This is the key to success in America. A friend of mine used to visit the Los Angeles City Hall, and right outside the Los Angeles City Hall, actually right inside the front door, is a shoeshine stand, and there was an Iranian gentleman, about 28, 29, shined shoes. And when he wasn't shining shoes, behind his stand, he had engineering textbooks. And the fellow stopped and had his shoes shined every so often and said, "What do you do?" He said, "Well, I came over from Iran." He said, "I fled when the Shah was overthrown." He said, "I don't have any qualifications here, so I'm studying for my degree in aeronautical engineering." He said, "That's pretty ambitious." He said, "That's what people say." He said, "You're shining shoes." He said, "Yes, it gives me a lot of downtime to study in between." And he worked away for 2 or 3 years. And he worked away, and one day he came by, and the young fellow was gone, and somebody else was there, sitting there reading comic books, staring out at the hallway. And he said, "What happened to the other fellow?" He said, "He's got his degree in aeronautical engineering from UCLA. And geez, he must have gotten a good grade because he got straight A average and he was hired by McDonnell Douglas at $75,000 a year. And he's not shining shoes anymore. He sure was lucky." You can learn anything you need to learn. America is the golden country of history where anything is possible for those who make it possible. Number five, you're only as free as your options. Remember, you're only as free as your choices. The more options you have, the more successful you'll be. Develop more options. And the more you know and the better you get, the more options you have. Number six is, within every challenge you face, there is a seed of an equal or greater opportunity or benefit. The seed of an equal or greater opportunity or benefit. Whatever your biggest problem is in life right now, it has been sent to you at this time to give you an opportunity or benefit. It contains a gift. It's exactly what you need now for the next step forward in your career. It's been sent to make you stronger and better. Whatever your problem is, it's there for a reason. And finally, number seven is, the only real limits on you are self-imposed. There are no real limits on the outside. All the limits are on the inside. And when you accept that you are the best, that you have the capacity for excellence, that you're a thoroughly, thoroughly good person, that you can do anything that you put your mind to, that you like yourself and you love your work, and that the world is nothing but opportunities and possibilities, and when you accept at a deep down level that you are unstoppable, then there are no limits. No limits. Thank you very much. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed this series by Brian Tracy. For more information on Brian's extensive audio and video library, please contact yoursuccessstore.com online or at 2835 Exchange Boulevard, Suite 200, South Lake, Texas, 76092. Call them at 800-929-0434. YourSuccessStore.com is also home of Jim Rohn International and the Your Success Store Speakers Bureau, representing Brian Tracy, Jim Rohn, Les Brown, Mark Victor Hansen, Bob Berg, and other great speakers and motivational products. Find out more at www.YourSuccessStore.com or call toll-free 800-929-0434.